Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time again to hop aboard the Pedego podcast and ride the e-bike revolution as we talk with the entrepreneurs behind the movement and the love stories of those just riding along. Brought to you by Pedego Electric Bikes. Well, as we've said so many times on this show, there is an amazing group of dealers who have suddenly found a new purpose and passion for life, the ability to do what they love, to do well by doing good for others. That seems to be the story of our guest today here. Bill, welcome, Bill and Carla Sauerwein. Am I saying that correctly?
That's correct. Thank you.
Bill and Carla Sauerwein, the notes that they gave me before tell me, Bill, that you were a practicing attorney for 30 years. Couldn't you get it right? You kept practicing and practicing? That's an old joke.
Yeah, never quite got it right, so I kept practicing. No, yeah, I was an attorney in St. Louis for 30 years before we ventured into a Pedego store for our next business.
And your wife wasn't sitting home eating bonbons. She was a registered nurse who spent decades in a variety of roles at a large pediatric hospital. Both of you sound like you were dedicated professionals. What made you hop off the professional train and try something different?
Well, it was just time to do so. You know, you want to make decisions like that while you're still physically able to work and do good and be productive. And I thought that was very important to do. And I'd had a really fun career as an attorney. I really enjoyed it. But for me, there was a time for another challenge, and it was just a timing thing.
And you were looking for a 180-degree turn. You weren't looking for something that, well, okay, I was an attorney, so now I'll create an app for attorneys, or I'll do something that takes advantage of my legal background or your wife's nursing background. You were consciously looking for something completely different, it sounds like.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. I thought that if the whole purpose is to hit the refresh button, you know, that's the way to do it. Find something different.
And was your wife on board with this, or she's like, I'm a registered nurse. It took forever to get there and to work my way up. I'm not about to start over again. What were you thinking, Carla, when she said,
well,
she's like, come
you know,
on, girl.
I like change. I've done many things throughout the years. Bill's always been the entrepreneur type. He always takes a lot of time to really think through what he wants to do. He doesn't rush into something haphazardly. So I knew he wanted to switch jobs, careers, and, you know, a few things that came up I wasn't really on board with, but this really seemed to check all the boxes.
All right. So you literally make, because he's an attorney, he's used to making checklists, and this is not somebody who just does something happen. I don't just go into court. Yeah, let's figure this out on the fly here. This is a guy, I'm going to guess, who's very detail-oriented. So when you wanted to hit refresh, you weren't just looking for a button. You had a whole checklist involved of what you wanted in this new experience. Walk me through what that checklist was.
I wanted to make sure, as best as I could, that we had that this business, whatever we got into, was going to be a success and was going to provide a good quality of life. So I wanted to work with Carla. We hadn't had a chance to do that. I wanted to kind of cater to a customer base that was our own age, you know, rather than a different age group that I couldn't connect with, you know, for instance.
Right. You're not trying to sell skateboards to surfers here or something.
Yeah, I didn't think I'd be very good at that. I wanted to be outside a lot. I wanted to get in the fresh air a lot. I wanted to do something that involved an evolving technology, because the practice of law certainly didn't accent technology. You know, it was all about research and case law and things like that, but not about technology. That's just a couple points on the list. The list just got longer and longer the longer it went on.
It's not that you didn't like the law. The law, I'm sure, was very successful for you, and you had a long career, but it's time to try something different. If I'm ever going to try something different, now's the time. Do we do just one thing in life, or do we do multiple things in life? And so you kind of had this itch to try something different. Your wife's like, well, maybe. But she said, you looked at a couple of things. She said, no, that ain't it. What kind of things did you look
well,
at?
Yeah, it was mutual. You know, I looked at a couple businesses to purchase. that I really wasn't that excited about, but they were for sale when I was looking to purchase one. And then
these are other small businesses in the community.
Small businesses. Yeah. I even looked and gave a great deal of thought over many years to opening up a restaurant and being somehow in the food business.
Why does everybody think that'll be fun? Trust me, I went through that epiphany myself. My buddies and I opened an Irish pub because I'm an Irishman. We thought, won't this be fun? It was a nightmare. It was a nightmare. The steal, the health department, the issues, and alcohol, and oh my goodness, what were we thinking? We thought this was going to be Cheers. There was very little cheerfulness in it.
Well, I know, and I guess that's the conclusion I came to as well.
You know? Right.
And I did definitely doing something that promoted a healthy lifestyle, which was on my list, really steered me in the direction of something athletic. You know, something like bicycling.
Yeah, frankly. Right. Had you been on a bicycle? Were you a bicycler yourself? Or is this just like going to a bar? Oh, won't that be fun? I'm going to ride a bicycle. Or, you know.
No. Carla and I were avid cyclists over the years. We rode with groups. We'd get out, you know, all the time and ride road bikes for exercise. I thought that was one of the best ways to keep fit all my life. And I think Carla was just mentioning before we got on the air that my very first job when I was 15 years old, I think, was putting together bicycles in the stock room of JCPenney.
Wow. So, okay. So there's a certain returning to your roots element about this. Okay. All right.
One of my first gifts from Bell as I graduated in nursing was a bicycle. So it does go way back.
All right. So you're riding bikes. Did you ever think of e-bikes, though? Because we've heard this on the show before, many avid e-bikers or certainly e-bike dealers kind of turn their nose up and say, that's not a bike.
Well, they do and they don't. Until you try one, you know, you probably you can't get too into it. But boy, we had a friend recommend that we try one when we were on vacation in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And just being able to ride over the mountains and through the mountains and on these mountainous trails where, you know, we would never have been able to spend the day on a traditional bike, mm-hmm. you know, and not just be exhausted. That convinced me right there. I mean, this was about fun and it was about enjoying yourself outside, not about killing yourself on the bicycle.
I didn't coin this, but I'm starting to use it all the time. It's the excuse eliminator. I would ride a bike, but I'm too old. I would ride a bike, but I just had knee surgery. I would ride a bike, but those hills are getting bigger and bigger as I get older. Whatever it is that's keeping you from going outdoors and doing it, is that what you're experiencing? Is that what you experienced that day? Was the enabler?
Yeah. Well, that's what we experience at our store every day, indeed. I mean, we get customers who have not been on a bike in 30 years for one reason or another, whether it's a medical condition or just that they've want to get back into cycling, but for one reason or another haven't had the opportunity. And this technology just does indeed enable them to do just that and enjoy their lives and improve their quality of lives in the process.
And it doesn't keep you from pedaling. It's not a motorcycle. I mean, you can pedal as much as you want, but at those moments when you need a little help getting over the hill, getting over the hump, getting over the obstacle, it's what it's there for.
Absolutely. There's so many great reasons to ride and to keep riding into older age. That's one of my favorite things as being a nurse is, you know, that healthy lifestyle that we can promote. People that have those knee replacements or those mobility issues, and they can rediscover biking and they feel young again. And, you know, it also has those effects of improving balance and just muscle strength and, you know, everything. So it's really wonderful thing for us to be able to share with people.
How about mental health or social health? You know, we're living in a world where people are alone and isolated, particularly as you get older. Divorce, spouse dies, kids move, things happen. You know, suddenly more and more people are alone, and then we're told to be alone, stay alone, because it's not safe out there anymore. COVID and other things here. Does that help overcome those hurdles from your standpoint? give a mental health boost to you as well as a physical health boost?
Absolutely. We have customers tell us that this is like an antidepressant for them because they're able to get out in the world, get into the fresh air, be active, be social, especially with the environment of living with COVID. People are able to do things that are out and about that they may not be able to do otherwise.
So what was it like when you finally went home after this experience riding some bikes and started to say, this may be the one? Maybe it's not the fun restaurant we thought, but it checks more of the boxes. We're outdoors, we're in it together, we're going to help people. You even, in a weird way, talk about how your past experience helps you be an e-bike dealer. I didn't see any way it could help you be an e-bike dealer other than negotiating the lease, maybe. Being a lawyer, how has that helped you? Or being a pediatric nurse in a pediatric hospital, a kids' hospital, how does that help you be a better dealer, a mom-and-pop dealer in a mom-and-pop community?
Well, I have to tell you, I was greatly surprised at how both our skills from our prior professions translated to owning a bike shop. I mean, being a lawyer is all about relationships and trust and giving good advice. Solving people's problems really is what I did for 30 years. Being a lawyer, successful lawyer, you have to truly focus on customer service and attention. You're basically selling your time and advice to other people.
Right.
And I have to tell you, that really translates well to being in the bicycle business, especially in the Pedego electric bicycle business, because people are seeking out some advice and consultation with respect to the bikes and how it's going to change their lives. It's a lot of money to spend, and people want to be secure that they're spending that money and it's going to really have an impact.
Does it help, Carla, having some medical knowledge as well? Does it, do people feel more comfortable?
Yeah. Every day. So, you know, again, the bikes are health promoting. So that, of course, is an underlying big factor. But I could tell you story after story of the people that we work with, the customers that we have. Yes, my background was in pediatrics. One of our early sales was to a young teenage boy who had heart and lung chronic problems.
Wow.
And also balance problems from a stroke. And now he can ride a trike with his friends and just, you know, loves it. Stories of people who've had heart transplants and cancer and so many things. And I feel like I really can find that common ground with that when I speak with them.
So what's that feel like? I mean, that feels like being a nurse still, where you get to help people and then they don't disappear. I don't know what it's like to be a nurse. So I don't know if once the patient leaves, if you ever hear from them again, maybe they send you a card and say, thank you. But in this case, the people ride up to your door and come back, don't they?
Absolutely. And right, they do share their updates with us about where they go, how far they go, what they're doing that they never thought they could do before.
How much weight they've lost, their 1C dropping down that they've never been able to control before because they're riding 30 and 35 miles a day. I mean, it really does have a big impact.
So as you started to do this and research, you thought this might be the one. And of course, you're a lawyer. You just, I'm going to take action here. You contacted the company and came out from, where are you at, in St. Louis, and came all the way out here to Orange County and met the great Don DeCostanza that everybody, I love we had William Shatner on the show, and he would never say, well, I met Don. He would say, I met Don DeCostanza, like I met him, the man himself, you know.
Yeah.
He has a powerful personality and a powerful passion for this. Did it infect you? Did it scare you? Did it attract? Did that help seal the deal when you saw this guy's really all in on this thing?
No, his attitude is highly contagious. He had a big personality, very promotional of the bikes.
I was talking about the Simon Sinek series. Don't tell me what you do. Tell me why you do it. He'll tell you why he does it all day long. He's passionate about it. Yeah.
And he's, you know, quality is number one. The team he's assembled, the designs, these bikes are beautiful. They're easy to ride. And like when you call this company, a person answers the phone and speaks with you. I mean, it's just
go figure.
It's really the way we like to do business.
But I keep asking everybody, you know, this is a world I guess it's the unspoken question. Why do we need dealers at all anymore? We just buy everything through Amazon. We buy everything through the internet. Isn't it cheaper? Isn't it faster? Isn't it easier? So you want to be a dealer in a world where retail centers are under attack, shutting down, turning into something else. Does that worry you to be a brick and mortar dealer in an Amazon world?
No, not at all. I gotta be honest about that. I mean, when I was exploring this and running it by people, I mean, especially people that had been in retail in the past, they were like, are you crazy?
Yeah.
To get into retail?
Retail's dying,
but,
buddy. Yeah, right.
There is always a need for good customer service and good quality products that really benefit people. See people all day long and get calls from people all day long that have bought a disposable bike on that line. And
they didn't know that $3,000 or $2,000 bike was disposable, but it's like the workout equipment that's all sitting in my garage. Something broke and it was suddenly, there's nobody to fix it. I don't know what to do with it.
They didn't know it weighed 70 pounds or that it wouldn't fit.
Yeah.
And when you come to our store, you can get that full experience. I mean, we tell you about the bikes. We show you how to ride them. We're right on a beautiful trail, bike trail. So we just line bikes up out there and people can test ride them until they find the absolutely perfect bike for them. It's just really good experience for people that you cannot duplicate in any way online.
Are you surprised that others aren't doing this? Because there's lots of e-bike. You know, when I first met Don here in Orange County and he started telling about the e-bike revolution coming, I wasn't sure it was really going to be as big and wide as he thought it is. And I see them everywhere now. But I also thought, I don't know that they're all going to be dealers again. Aren't we just going to buy these things online? And as he explained it to me, and as I've listened to you guys, tell me if you share the same story. The power of the retailer is, one, there's somebody to show it to you. You can test it. You can even rent it if you want to get out and ride it before you buy it. And the second is somebody there to service it and stand behind it because it is an electric mobility platform, whatever we're going to call it here. Things can happen, and you've got somebody to service, not just here, but everywhere you take it around the country. Do you have people coming in from other states and places and say, hey, I'm just stopping in. We're taking a tour, and we want to, I don't know, we got a flat or something here.
Yeah, we have encountered that. People both that are Pedego owners from other states that have stopped by our store in need of a repair or something like that, and people from other states where there's not a Pedego dealer wanting to explore it because it is such a popular technology.
Yeah. How about guiding them? We've had dealers come out and say, people stop at my store and just say, I'm just checking in. I'm part of the Pedego community. I just want to say hi. Where do we ride around here? Give us some guidance here. You're now trail guides as well as store owners here.
Oh, yeah. When you do this, you wear all kinds of different hats. We promote the trail system around St. Louis, all the trails. We promote, you know, the Katy Trail quite a bit, which runs through the state of Missouri.
What's it called? What kind of trail? What's that?
It's called the Katy Trail. It was is the name of it, and it's the longest rails-to-trails project in the United States. It actually traverses the entire state of Missouri.
And explain that. I hear that. I'm not sure I understand what rails-to-trails is. Is that where they take old railroad lines and they turn them into something?
Yeah, they take abandoned railroad lines and convert them essentially to bike trails. And the one through Missouri, as you might imagine, cuts right through the center of the state, goes through dozens and dozens of small, quaint towns that were built up around the railroad. And now they're built up around a wonderful bicycle trail. And it's beautiful country. I mean, it's hilly, beautiful country. We've got a wine country. We've got a beautiful farm country out there.
Bend, Missouri. It's very hilly, not the flat Midwest that I pictured it to be, like Kansas, nearby Kansas or whatever here.
It also follows the Missouri River for a large part of it. And so we've connected our store with quite a few of the conservation not-for-profits as well as the trails. So it's been really rewarding to kind of be a part of that community as well.
First time I ever heard of this, we had a love story of a customer from Wheaton, Illinois. Chicago, about as urban as it gets, suburban and urban as it gets. And he was riding these rails to trails thing where they've taken railroads that went back to the 1800s, but haven't been used in a long time. and turning them into bike trails. And he said they go off the beaten path. You're way away from the freeway. You're going through these little towns and rivers and stuff that were built up by these railroads and then bypassed by the freeway many years ago. So you're seeing stuff you've never seen before. Is that what it's like in Missouri?
It is. And it's beautiful country, as we said. Yeah, it's quite an amenity to be able to promote and be a part of. And, you know, you were asking earlier about guiding, you know, people.
Did you think you were going to be a trail boss, a trail guide?
No, not really. And by the way, just a footnote, it wasn't any pioneers that came through Missouri. It was the pioneers, Lewis and Clark.
Yes, so, isn't that the truth? Yes, right.
I mean, that's a big one. We did not know that was going to be a big part of it, but we did know it was going to be some part of it. And it's a part of it we really enjoyed, just being able to participate in the history of it all and learn about history and things like that. It's been very nice.
You're leading people down an old path, not pedaled or walked down in a long time here, and you're doing it with a new technology. It's sort of the old and the new combined here. It's a bike that's upgraded so it can take you out farther than you ever thought, out into these wilderness areas, and they're building trails out there, it sounds like, in Missouri and elsewhere. That amazes me. I didn't know that's happening across the country. I thought these areas were just like Route 66, you know. It's there are people that find out the old Route 66 from Chicago to L.A., but a lot of it's gone. A lot of it's just been bypassed and doesn't exist anymore here.
And, you know, Pedego's creativity really shines with the trails as well, because they offer the ability to do self-guided tour apps. If you haven't experienced one of those, you should.
Tell me about that. You're the first one that's mentioned that here. Okay.
Yeah. So, again, we're right on Grant's Trail. It's a rails to trail. It gets its name from General Grant, whose farm is just down the trail a little ways.
Okay. And this is so, the famous Ulysses S. Grant that came from Missouri. I didn't know he came from Missouri. Yeah, okay.
Well, he didn't come from Missouri. His wife is from Missouri, and the farm was actually her family's property. But we researched it, and we, Carly, put together this ability to where as you ride down the trail, even without a guide, plays for you, and you learn the history of the area. So there's so many ways that people...
Oh, my God, a guided app to show you what you're riding and experience. Sort of like you go into these museums now, and then you hook up your iPhone, and it tells you everything you're seeing and experiencing.
It is like that, yes.
Yeah, except this works up GPS coordinates, and every time you get close to a pin, it'll play an audio track that tells you...
Oh, my goodness.
Just like a tour guide would.
Yeah.
And it's, but it's all digital age stuff. That's what's so neat about it.
Well, we got to do more on that, because that's the first I've heard of it. That sounds amazing. Well, last couple thoughts here. One other thing in the notes they gave me before the show, they tell me that when you finally decided to do this, you rode a bike, you've been looking for a new adventure and a new something to do together, outdoors, a new business, a new path to take, and suddenly you went back to Missouri with this passion to find the right place. Tell me, Carla, about the serendipity-ness of the spot you picked. You know, my wife is like this. She'll say, see, we're good Irish Catholics. She'd say, see, this is God telling us. This was meant to be. And I'm like, I don't know if I really believe that. But, yeah, a lot of things seem to be come together at the right moment. Talk about that moment when you found the store that day.
Well, it felt that way in 2019. You know, again, Bill had done the research, and it was coming down to finding the right place. And Bill had looked for different places all around town, and we, you know.
And he's looking at, you know, traffic flows and rents and things. Yeah. He's looking at very business kind of stuff, and you're looking at this. Does it feel right?
Right, right. Bill really should be the one to speak to this, but a small business near our home, which is right on the Grants Trail, came available. And so that's when Bill took over as far as that space went.
And you saw it like the day the sign was posted or something. It was like...
Absolutely.
Yeah, actually, Tom Bach from Pedego was with us, and I was showing him various options where we were thinking about locating our store. And I just thought I'd drive by this place and just show him the trail. We didn't even have any expectation of seeing the building. And as we glanced over, there was a little piece of paper on the window that said, out of business.
Wow. Yeah. Ready
and
for
I,
you.
I knew the owner, and everything. So it hadn't gone up for sale yet. Nothing like that had happened. It was actually the first day he had posted that piece of paper on the window.
See?
And so I gave him a call and pursued him for a couple months. And he ended
and
up
you actually
up.
Bought the building and demoed it, redid it. And then a month, they tell me a month before the store is ready to open, Carla, pick up the story here. You're standing near the bike trail, and what do you see?
Right. So I went up by the trail to see what the building looked like from the trail, because it was important to us that it had a really welcoming air to it. And there was a guy on a bike. He had stopped for a minute, and he was also looking at the store. And I said, "Is that a Pedigo?" because, again, we're the new first store in the area. And, you know, got to talking to him and just worked out, and we ended up hiring him to be a tech at the store. And he was in the airline industry, and when COVID hit, that kind of went by the wayside, so he came on full time. And so we've been a good team of three.
Let's give him a shout out. What's his name?
Shane Nash.
So this is like pioneers. You're riding around, you're over on the trail, and somebody wanders by in a Pedigo, in an area where there isn't a Pedigo dealer, so you wouldn't expect to see one of those there. And you start a conversation, and he ends up working for you to this day. I mean, this is a little too much serendipity for me to believe. This is like out of a movie or something here.
That's right.
I'm watching the Great Trail again here, you know, the Pioneer Trail.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. He was riding by on his bike at the same moment she walked out to the trail. So
yeah.
It really was about we had about a 3-minute window there to connect with this guy. It happened.
Sounds like it's all meant to be. What do you think? When did the store open? How long have you been there?
We've been there since June of 2019. So we're, you know, going on, well, we've completed 2.5 years, I guess, in business.
Any doubts that this is where you're meant to be at this moment, at this place, at this time, with this product, with this doing what you're doing?
No, I think we picked the right time and picked the right product. We're really making a lot of friends and new customers, and I think really helping people out. I mean, we've really had a great time.
So, Carla, what do you say to any other wife listening whose husband comes home with a harebrained, crazy idea? I'm going to give up a 30-year career and open up a bike stop.
Well, you know, I think it's good to dip your toe in the water and see what happens. And, again, you know, do your research. Look at what the commitment is and what the resources are. Pedigo just happened to be the right company for us, so we've been grateful.
But don't be afraid to take the journey, to ride, to take a different path, huh?
That's right.
All right. Well, where's the store at? How do people reach you if they want to ride by? It's apparently easy. Everybody riding this trail is going to ride right by your store here. How do we find you?
Well, we're located in the Kirkwood area of St. Louis, and our address is 801 South Holmes. We're right on the City of Oakland trailhead for the Grants Trail. Very easy to find.
And what's the website, phone number, anything else you want to give us?
Yeah, we're www.pedigostlouis.com, and our phone number is 314-698-2433. You can always email Bill at Pedigo St. Louis.
You may find him out on the trail guiding some people along, some pioneers riding through here, or just people having fun. It sounds like you're having fun.
Oh, we are indeed.
All right. Well, thanks for sharing your story with us today here. It's all about our ongoing exploration of this e-bike revolution and the entrepreneurs behind it, people like Bill and Carla, who took the plunge and are now happily guiding others along this happy trail. I think it's amazing, and I hope you'll come back and join us for more on the Pedigo podcast, brought to you by Pedigo Electric Bikes.